Live from the College of Communication, Arts, and Sciences at Michigan State University, it is now time to go beyond the X's and the O's with WKAR's current sports.
You want to go after an athlete, one of my athletes, come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
My style is impetuous. My defense is impregnable.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a star receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get.
Yes, did I express to them I was mad? I was furious. Just furious.
I know my wife will at least shut fake one time.
We're talking about practice, not a game.
And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cat.
Here's your host, L. Martin.
What is up, beautiful people? Welcome to this MLK Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. Yes, yeah, shout out to the late, great Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who we remember on this January 20th, 2020. We do this around this time of the year every single year. A man who contributed greatly to our society in helping us take major leaps toward equality here in America and, frankly, across the world. All right, so happy MLK Day to you all. I know many of you have the day off, but we're working here on Current Sports because we've got a lot to get to. A busy, busy sporting weekend to recap that will include what happened in the NFL this past weekend that sent the San Francisco 49ers and the Kansas City Chiefs to the Super Bowl next month in Miami. I'm not even going to lie. It was a bit of a snooze fest for me. I was not entertained much because I wanted to see two competitive games, but we didn't get that. And the 49ers and the Chiefs were the far superior teams. Yeah, granted, the Chiefs had to come back yet again, but hey, when you got Patrick Mahomes and that ridiculous offense that he mans, I mean, did you really feel like the Chiefs were going to lose that game, especially when they brought the thing to within 3 points? So Chiefs 49ers, will briefly touch on that. How about the night that was on Friday night for the Michigan State men's basketball team, who got a win over Wisconsin? And on top of that, Cassius Winston, the senior point guard leader, the top point guard in the nation, he was able to break a record that has stood a long, long time. We'll touch on that moment from Cassius Winston. We'll touch on that win for MSU men's basketball. Just a great night for the Spartans, who still hold down the numero uno spot in the men's Big Ten basketball conference, all right? And then on the back end of the show, I love to pay tribute to the great MLK. So you'll hear his famous I Have a Dream speech, and you know, I'll have brief thoughts on where we are today as a society. I'm not going to get too deep or philosophical with you guys. I do this every single year, and I think it's important to recognize the contributions of this man on this day. And I love to pub this every single year as well. I'm one of the very few human beings on this planet that can call Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. My brother, seeing as though he was a member of the great and mighty Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity Incorporated, frat, back in the day. You know, we always pubbed that when I became an Alpha. I mean, he's one of our most famous members. And so this is a special, special day in my collegiate fraternity. You know, I got an email this morning, actually, talking about our great brother, Dr. King, and his contribution. So we'll do that. And I also want to welcome to the show our very own Connor Mathis, who is now a professional sports writer with the Argus Press, as Connor will join us live in studio to talk about a bit of controversy. Some controversy. Now, this is a story. I don't know how open Connor wants to be about how this story came about, but there's controversy all around concerning the Laingsburg and Potterville game. And Connor's going to clear it up because he was one of the first reporters to get this story.
And it has a lot of implications when it comes to standings in high school hoops. All right, so the Michigan High School Athletic Association has a bit of pondering to do when it comes to this controversy. Hear what Connor Mathis has to say about it, and he'll explain it in detail later on during today's current sports. Trust me, you do not want to miss that chat. All right, so you can join the discussion multiple ways. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to Facebook.com/WKAR News. Live stream is up and running there. A few of you watching there and weighing in. Many of you probably have not weighed in before. I see a few new names popping across the screen because you have the day off on this MLK day. Hello and welcome to Current Sports. You can also weigh in courtesy of Twitter. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin, WKAR. Here are your current sports quick hit headliners. Let's start here. I want to let you guys know that the Michigan State women's basketball team is in action tonight on the road to take on Rutgers, 6 p.m. They hit the road after, you know, two games at home, and the game will be televised on the Big Ten Network. The Spartans have won two straight games and stand at 10-7 overall, 3-3 in the Big Ten Conference. Rutgers is in a three-way tie right now for first place in the Big Ten Conference with Northwestern and Iowa all holding 5-1 league marks. Overall, Rutgers holds a 15-2 record. This will be the second straight season that Michigan State and Rutgers will have met on January 20th. Last year, the Scarlet Knights stopped the Spartans 76-62, your final at home on this very date on January 20th. So Michigan State women's basketball hitting the road after two at home playing Rutgers at 6 p.m. All right, Michigan State men's basketball getting the 67-55 win over the Wisconsin Badgers to move that record to 14-4 on the season. Wisconsin now falls to 11-7 on the year. Michigan State still holding down that numero uno spot. And, you know, with that win, Cassius Winston actually broke the longtime record held down by Michigan State point guard, great and national champion, Mateen Cleaves, for the all-time assist record in the Big Ten Conference. Pretty amazing stuff. Mateen was in the building. He actually hit the hardwood and spoke very, very briefly and then, you know, pitched a mic over to Cassius Winston, who didn't want to speak. You could tell Cassius did not want to talk, but his teammates began to chant, "Speech, speech, speech!" And he spoke for a little bit. We actually have some audio from that courtesy of our very own Jack Kerwin, who is manning the show behind the glass today.
Can't pay it off. Cassius Winston, one assist from becoming the all-time assist leader in Big Ten.
Oh, that's my guy, the great Gus Johnson, who, as you always let me know, Jack, went to your high school. You were a Jesuit. And you know what? They had a really
Cash cool. Winston out of Detroit Jesuit High School. Meant for others.
Yeah, there we go. Oh, you cut that up for today? Was that just for today? That's awesome stuff, Jack. Hold on, Winston, I can't hear you. Are you coming through right now?
He shouted out our high school, yes. Our slogan, Men for Others, for the greater glory of God. I noticed that at the beginning of the broadcast, so you know, entered into my mind that I just need to cut that up for the show.
Well, I don't know if you saw the segment of the game where Cassius Winston and Tom Izzo, they apparently did some kind of sit-down interview with Fox Sports 1, and Tom Izzo and Cassius Winston, you could tell that they were just blowing steam for Gus. They were talking about how Gus Johnson is the greatest ever to walk those halls at UAD Jesuit, and how Cassius Winston is just chasing Gus Johnson, and Gus Johnson had some fun with it, and he was blushing. I don't know if you saw that segment. It was a great, great snippet.
It was at halftime, right?
I think it was coming into the third quarter.
Yeah, so, okay. Yeah. So, yeah, no, I just missed it. I'd had to run out for about 15 minutes, just do a couple errands, and I came back, and my roommates were like, you missed it. They just highlighted Gus Johnson in his time at UAD. So, no, I didn't catch it. But they've done specials on NMSU games in the past talking about Gus Johnson going to UAD.
I forget that he is in the Hall of Fame there. I always forget that.
So, at UAD?
At UAD.
Yeah, he was inducted, I think, my junior year there.
Yeah, they showed the plaque. For basketball or his broadcast?
No, just like as a notable alumni. I don't think it had anything to do with... No, wait, it might have been U of D's Athletic Hall of Fame, actually.
It was the
I think it was. Yeah, Connor Barwin's there, former NFL player, and a couple other guys, and Cassius is there as well.
He wasn't a bad basketball player, Gus Johnson. He was solid.
Yeah.
So, there you go, Gus Johnson. That was really cool to watch. So, more on, of course, Cassius breaking that record in just a moment. Jalen Terry, the four-star point guard out of Flint Beecher High School, who was previously, if you remember, committed to Michigan State, he announced his college choice on Friday, and he picked Oregon over Louisville and LSU. Now, the Flint Beecher senior, he had committed to Michigan State back in April of 2019 in the week leading up to the Spartans' Final Four game against Texas Tech. But then, the day before my birthday, on October 6th, the Spartans landed a verbal commitment from A.J. Hoggard, or Hogard. I think it's Hogard, I believe. Also a four-star point guard from Huntington Prep. 8 days later, on October 14th, Terry did commit from Michigan State. Quote, "We were committed there, 100% with them. And then they recruited another guard. We started thinking about the future and stuff like that. You want to go where there's a better opportunity for you to develop, like where there's not too many people where, and this is where it gets interesting, where, quote, if you make a mistake, you don't get taken right back out the game or something like that. They actually trust you." Shots fired directly at Tom Izzo there, right? You can feel that emotion from there. I didn't know about this quote until yesterday when Deshaunte hit me up and said, "Al, yo, check out this piece centered on Jalen Terry, who opens up about his decommit from Michigan State." And I'm reading. Then I get to that quote. "If you make a mistake, you don't get taken right back out the game or something like that. They actually trust you." I have more on that comment later on this hour. All right. And then when he was asked if it was a hard decision, Terry said, quote, "Not really. So my man Ryan Slocum at ABC 12 in Flint, he's the guy who got this story. I'm going to have Ryan on at some point this week to talk about his chat with Jalen Terry and his reaction to those comments." Again, that's a direct jab at Tom Izzo. Direct jab at Tom Izzo. We'll address that later on this hour. And again, I'm hoping to get Slocum on the show this week. All right. MSU hockey. Wisconsin broke a 1-1 tie with 2:08 to play and topped the number 20th Michigan State hockey team 3-1 on Saturday at the Kohl Center, erasing the Spartans' bid for a regular season sweep of the Badgers. The two teams each scored goals in the opening period and carried a 1-1 tie all the way to the closing minutes, just after the Spartans had a chance to take the lead off a play in front of the Wisconsin net. Wisconsin's Roman Akan, he got the eventual game winner seconds later off a rush. He crossed the blue line, cut to the middle of the slot, and wristed the puck through a crowd and past goaltender John Lettman. Now, Ty Pelton Bryce added an empty net with 1:22 to play. And on the weekend, Michigan State hockey did split against Wisconsin. All right, less than a week after announcing his plan to transfer, Michael Dwumfor has found a new place to play football. And he's headed home. The senior defensive tackle at Michigan has now committed to play for Rutgers in 2020. He announced on social media, quote, "I am coming home because I am all in," end quote. He wrote that on Twitter, his message accompanied with a graphic of himself in a Rutgers uni next to the message, quote, "committed" in all caps. All right, and Brian Lewerke and Daryl Stewart Jr. played their final game for Michigan State in a win, if you remember. You remember. Against Wake Forest on December 27th in the Pinstripe Bowl in New York. 3 weeks later, the two teamed up one more time on the other coast. Lewerke and Stewart played for the American team in a 30-20 loss to the national squad on Saturday night's NFLPA Collegiate Bowl at the Rose Bowl in Pasadena, California. Looking at the stats, Lewerke and Stewart did play pretty well. They connected a few times, and Lewerke, I saw one highlight on Twitter. He actually even threw a touchdown pass. So, you know, what does that do for the draft stock of those two players? We'll see. And I believe a total of 5 Spartans actually played in that game. But Lewerke and Stewart were the standouts for the green and white. So we'll see what happens there. Also, you know, this is like an MLK Day tradition for the Detroit Pistons to play on MLK Day today at 2 p.m. So right when we get off the air here, the Detroit Pistons will play the Washington Wizards on the road. The Pistons sitting at 16-27 on the year. The Wizards just with 13 wins on the season, 13-28. Also, the Detroit Red Wings are on the road as well. At 3 p.m., so an hour after the tip time for the red, white, and royal blue, the Wings will have a 3 p.m. puck drop at Colorado, taking on the Avalanche as the Wings try to improve on that 12-33-4 record. And this was just a... Jack, am I wrong in saying this? It was a boring weekend to watch NFL football.
Yeah, it was all chalk.
All chalk, dude. I sat there like, man, I turned it off. I started getting ready. I watched the SAG Awards last night. I mean, it was tough to watch both of those games. So we now know who is going to the Super Bowl. It will be the Kansas City Chiefs and the San Francisco 49ers in Miami on Sunday, February 2nd, 6:30 p.m. on Fox at the Hard Rock Stadium in Miami Gardens, Florida. Right now, the early line list KC as a 1.5 point favorite. So I can see that line moving in favor of KC more than 1 point and a hook. So we'll see what happens. The over-under is set at 52.5. So there you have that. More on the NFL Conference Championship games in just a moment. 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. Go to facebook.com/WKAR News. Watch and comment below the live stream there and tweet us. Tweet the show at WKAR News or tweet me directly at Al Martin WKAR.
Congratulations, baby. Let's make it a special year. Good stuff, baby.
Like I said, man, this is a huge honor, man, for it to stay in the family, held down for 20 years, man. That tell you how hard it is and, you know, how special it is. So I appreciate you for setting the way. Appreciate Coach for giving me the opportunity. Appreciate my teammates. Appreciate everybody here, man. It's something that hopefully going to last for another 20, man. I come back. appreciate y'all, man. Everybody here, go green.
So again, the voices of Martine Cleaves, former Michigan State men's basketball great, who was in his house on Friday night inside the Breslin in anticipation of watching Cassius Winston break his longtime record. It's been like 20 years since that record has stood, but Cassius got his 817th career assist to break former fellow Spartan Martine Cleaves' record in that 67-55 win on Friday night. That was just a special night, you know, a special night because Michigan State continues to win. You know, they shook off the loss the previous weekend that happened the previous weekend to Purdue on the road. And, you know, got that dub at home. You know, isn't it just amazing? It just blows my mind every time I look at how many teams win at home in the Big Ten Conference and how often road teams have fallen in this conference. It is mind-blowing. It really is. So Michigan State bouncing back from that 71-42 loss at Purdue. And what a way to get the record, too. It was a Cassius Winston feed to the X-Man, Xavier Tillman, for an alley-oop slam. Just a really nice connection there. And the record, bam, in the books. You know, and as far as Winston's reaction to it, you know, once he got to the huddle, you know, he's getting all these high fives from his teammates, but he's kind of just like, hey, man, we still got a game to play. He's like, all right, yeah, thank you, thank you, thank you.
This is Cassius Winston. I'm going to assist you.
Exactly. And Jack Kerwin, you know, doing a great job cutting up some sound from it. I didn't see this until literally just now. Jack said, did you see the assist Cassius Winston commercial that MSU basketball put on his Twitter page, and I just looked it up, and shout out again to Michigan State Athletics, the video production team and those who run social media over there, because they've taken their game in these last 3 years to another level. But there's a really cool commercial on Michigan State's basketball page. If you follow Michigan State basketball at MSU_basketball and just scroll down, you know, just twice, You'll see Cassius Winston, you know, picking up a phone at his desk and saying, hey, it's Cassius Winston. How may I assist you? As you just heard him say, he's like just handing out papers. You know, he throws Michigan State SID, Michigan State basketball SID, Mex Carey. You know, he throws him a water bottle behind the back. He's just helping out everybody around the office. And again, that's what he does for Michigan State hoops, right? I mean, he dishes out assists. He assists everybody. You know, that where would this team be without Cassius Winston? That's a very cool spot, Jack. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
I got you. So I guess you didn't see, people were giving Mex a hard time on Twitter yesterday about the ad, asking him how many takes it took for him to actually catch the water bottle that Cassius threw him.
I did not see that. They were giving Mex
pretty
a
good.
Hard time.
Yeah.
Oh, that's hilarious. Right, right. Because, you know, because in the final piece, I mean, Mex, I mean, he catches it seamlessly. I mean, he doesn't even look at Cassius, I don't think.
Yeah, you know? The problem is you can tell with the camera that they pan away from the original throw. So it's not the same take, you can tell.
You can tell. So, I mean, that's TV for you.
Yeah.
That's television for you. So it's a really awesome spot, a really awesome spot. Check that out. And, you know, for Cassius and this Michigan State men's hoop team, you know, this was the perfect bounce back game. You know, Wisconsin is no slouch. And you definitely, especially when you consider what happened the game prior to, you want to come in here and get a dub at home. So, you know, watching what Michigan State, you know, was able to do on Friday night, just a pretty impressive effort all around for this team. And you know, Michigan State, I must say, I am very surprised that Illinois and Rutgers are your two teams right now tied for second place, Jack. And I see you pumping your fist behind the glass. Who knew? You know, and now I will say this. You know, Illinois, I thought, was a pretty good team heading into this season. I didn't think, though, that they'll be sitting there at second place in the Big Ten Conference right now. It's still early, but still, I mean, look, I should stop saying it's still early here. I mean, it is early, but we're kind of getting in the groove of the Big Ten Conference now because we're looking at seven games in for a lot of these teams. So, but Illinois and Rutgers sitting at second place in the Big Ten Conference. Then you have Iowa, Wisconsin, Maryland, and Indiana all tied for third place, and Minnesota right after them at 4-4. Iowa, Wisconsin, Maryland, and Indiana all at 4-3. But this Illinois team and Rutgers, those are two teams that Michigan State has to keep an eye on because they can make some noise, dude. They are solid programs.
Yep, absolutely. But you know what the good thing is so far, as we're, what, 7 or 8 games into the season, is that Michigan State's already beaten both teams once.
Exactly.
So that is good. But you know what? As an Illinois fan, kind of, sort of, because my parents went there, you know, the part that tugs at me the most is that Illinois should have one more win. They were up 7 points at Maryland early in the Big Ten season with 3 minutes left, and I think they went cold the rest of the game and gave up an 8-0 run the last 3 minutes to lose that game. So they should have beaten Maryland, too.
And that was a Maryland team, if I'm not mistaken, that was, like, ranked number 3 in the nation.
Yeah, they were. They were in the top 5 at the time. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that would have been a very impressive win, and they lose by 1 point there. But they have won. Illinois has won now 4 games in a row. They did beat that Purdue team, and it's so crazy in the Big Ten right now. They didn't just beat Purdue, Jack. They killed Purdue in that game. I mean, 63-37. It was not even close. 63-37? And you thought Michigan State's offensive output was sorry against Purdue, and Purdue gets beat like that against Illinois? That's amazing. They beat Wisconsin by 1 point to show you just how weird it is in the Big Ten Conference, and we just saw what Michigan State was able to do against Wisconsin on Friday. So that was a 71-70 final. They beat Rutgers by 3 points, 54-51, and you know, the most recent win for Illinois is against Northwestern, not a great team in the Big Ten, and they only beat them by 4 points, 75-71. Purdue will have a chance at some revenge tomorrow night at 7 p.m. That will be at Purdue, at Mackey Arena, as Illinois and Purdue will play tomorrow night. I'm really looking forward to that game. But for Michigan State right now, hey, I mean, what more can you say about that performance on Friday night? Again, 67-55. And, you know, what I really liked, I mean, you look at the production of this squad on that night, you know, Rocket Watts, you know, Jack, you texted me that night and said that, hey, we did pretty good with our predictions. Because if you remember on Friday's edition of the show, you know, we picked the final score and then we picked a player, a standout player for that game. I went with Mark Rocket Watts, who was great coming off the bench. I mean, he continued to just pick up where he left off against Purdue. In my opinion, he was like the lone bright spot for the Spartans in that loss on the road at Purdue. He picks up where he left off in that game. He was 4 of 7 from the floor, 11 points for him. Also handed out 3 assists and had 3 rebounds. So he had double digits coming off the bench for Michigan State. And the guy you picked, Jack, was Gabe Brown, who was great in that game. He was perfect from the floor, 5 of 5. 2 of 2 from deep, 13 points. He also had 1 block, 1 steal, give him 4 rebounds as well. An all-around great effort for him. I mean, you know, he's nicknamed the Energizer Bunny for this Michigan State men's basketball team for a reason. He is instant energy. And then Aaron Henry. No, I'm not ignoring Aaron Henry, folks. Aaron Henry, a guy who many, not just me, many people have been critical of this year. I think that he is the magic key for this team if they want to make a deep run come March. I mean, Aaron Henry was 5 of 10. He was aggressive, so he shot 50% from the floor, 5 of 10, 1 of 2 from deep, 13 points for him. Also, he had 5 rebounds to go with those 13 points and a steal. So, you know, an all-around great effort from him as well. And then Xavier Tillman, I mean, he's the Robin to Cassius Winston's Batman. 15 points for him. He was 1 rebound shy of another double-double on the season. He had 4 assists, 6 of 14 from the floor. So this was an all-around great effort, Jack. I really have no complaints when it comes to this game. Early on, That was a Wisconsin team that showed it could score. And I believe it was Nate Reavers. Nate Reavers was giving Michigan State some problems here and there. But, to go along with, I believe it was King as well. I believe those were the only two players that scored in double digits, Kobe King. But other than that, I never really felt like Michigan State was threatened in this game. I thought that Michigan State had pretty good control throughout 90% of it.
No, yeah, you're exactly right. It was basically one run at the beginning of the start of the second half where on back-to-back possessions, State didn't close out on Nate Reavers, and he got to hit a couple threes, and they cut it down to single digits. But State was pretty quickly able to go on a run after that. And look at it this way. Wisconsin finished that game on a 13-0 run the last 4 minutes, and State still won by 12.
Exactly.
So you're doing something right, obviously. And, I think this game was what Spartan fans were looking forward to, or what they were looking for, I should say, in a lot of ways, because when you look at the way the game Cassius Winston had, Cassius was not great shooting the basketball at all. I think he only finished with like 6 points.
Right.
But he facilitated well, and his teammates picked him up, and they were able to cruise to a victory, against a team that just knocked off Maryland only a couple days earlier. So, if you're a Spartan fan, you have to be pretty encouraged by this. And you know what this game does? The other thing, too, is it gives a little bit of credibility to the idea that the reason State laid an egg against Purdue was just fatigue, having played 4 games in 10 days. To come back a week after that performance and, take care of Wisconsin the way they did, that's got to give Spartan fans a sense of peace of mind.
Well, I think, to really put that point to the test would be to see if Michigan State can win convincingly on the road. And that's the thing. They'll play Indiana. They'll be at Indiana on the 23rd. That will be an 8:30 p.m. tip time on the 23rd on Fox Sports 1. So, but that's my final point I was going to make. I mean, like you said, Jack, I mean, Cassius Winston did not shoot well. He was 3 of 12 from the floor, 0 of 3 from deep, 6 points, 4 assists. Also, throw in 5 turnovers for him. So this was not his best game. It was a great night for him to break the record, so on and so forth. And I think the reason why you probably got that kind of stale reaction from him after he did break the record and he's getting these high fives in the huddle was he knew that he wasn't playing well. And that's the thing I've always worried about. It's encouraging that Cassius Winston did not play well. And like you said, Jack, I like the way you put that. His teammates picked him up. And, because he's going to have games. Cassius, hey, look, he's human. He's not an alien, all right? He's human, especially when you...
Are we sure about that?
We're sure.
Are we sure he's not an alien?
We are sure about that.
We're absolutely sure watching him play?
I think we're sure.
You think we're sure?
Then the fact that, he's going through that heavy heart with his late brother as well. To play with all of that, he's going to have nights. He's going to have games where he may not be all the way there. So this was certainly encouraging. This was an encouraging game for Michigan State moving forward. So your thoughts on it, 517-355-WKAR, 517-355-9527. When we come back, we'll welcome live to the studio Connor Mathis of the Argus Press, as he'll talk about a bit of controversy in local high school boys basketball between two programs, and it could affect the standings and a few other things. I also want to talk some NFL as well, and I'll have some brief takeaways as to what we saw during this NFL conference championship weekend. One guy who I don't think is human, Jack, is Patrick Mahomes. I mean, the dude is unbelievable, and now the Chiefs are knocking on the door of a Super Bowl, the Super Bowl favorite. That and more. You are listening to the Monday MLK Day edition of WKAR's Current Sports. All right, welcome back to WKAR's Current Sports. I am your host, Al Martin. You know, also, I failed to mention that on Friday. I want to give a great big shout-out to those at the MSU Alumni Board for choosing me to MC Friday night's President's Reception. I had a great, great time, and it was such an honor and a privilege to represent WKAR and to meet a lot of you big-time MSU donors and influential voices that are a big part of this university, frankly. You know, I got the chance to introduce some of the Board of Trustees members. I got a chance to talk and meet President Stanley, the new president here at Michigan State University. We had a nice chat. He seems like an awesome dude, just very nice, very kind, very sympathetic individual, and extremely well-spoken as well. And also, Tom Izzo. Tom and I chatted for about 10 minutes or so that night as we presented him. I presented him along with Dr. Stanley with the Medallion Award that is given to, you know, someone of Michigan State influence, of course, as it pertains to donor relations. And Tom Izzo was very gracious in accepting that award, and he addressed the state of his team. And, you know, then Tom Izzo went right downstairs and got to work on that win against Wisconsin. So I had a great time being there. Many people were there, and I really enjoyed meeting many faces who say that they listen to the show and enjoy it, but don't call in because they're shy. So I know I got a lot of listeners out there who probably tune in on the daily, but are very, very shy. Look, man, I want to hear from you guys. All right, at least comment on the Facebook page or tweet us. All right, but I got that a lot. Like, Al, I always listen, but I never call in. Man, you're doing a good job. We love you guys, Jack and Connor and Alec. We're fans of them as well. So I got that a lot that night. So I wanted to relay that information to my team as well. So great, great night, and even better that Michigan State got the win. Okay, all right. What I want to do right now is as you probably see, for those who are tuned in to our Facebook live stream right now, we have now invited live to Studio S our dear friend and still part-time engineer, I guess I can say, because he comes in and fills in from time to time. He certainly had my back during the holidays for Christmas and New Year's. But Connor Mathis, you know him very, very well. Connor Mathis of the Argus Press, doing a wonderful job there covering prep sports. And the reason we have you in on this day, Connor, is because, you know, you and I have been talking on and off for the last like couple of weeks now about a story that is starting to get a lot of traction, and that pertains to two local high school basketball teams in Langsburg and Potterville. And the reason why this is getting so much traction and so much conversation is because there is a bit of a dispute concerning a matchup earlier this year between those two programs. So first off, happy MLK Day, my man. Thank you for coming in. And can you kind of dive into and give us an update on what in the world this controversy is all about?
So it essentially boils down to what has been called a phantom 2 points. Mm-hmm. Essentially what happened late in the third quarter.
And when was this game?
This was January 7th.
Okay.
What ended up happening was Potterville was up. There was a sort of a mistake in the scoreboard where Potterville's score went up 2 points and Langsburg's score went down 2 points. Now, what happened was the Langsburg scorekeeper, she noticed this change-up, this discrepancy, and she let the coaches know for Langsburg. She let some other people know, and she let at the scores table know that, hey, there's something wrong with the scoreboard. Well, they're playing the game at Potterville. The home book, the official book, as it's called, they had said, well, hang on now. We don't need to address this right now. We can wait till the end of the quarter. Mm-hmm. Now, it's important context that in most cases, when there's an error on the scoreboard, no matter how minor, if it's, you know, points, if it's fouls, whatever it may be, if it's an error, you're supposed to let the officials know immediately so they can come and they can sort it out right then and there, you know, to, you know, help avoid situations like this.
Right.
What ended up happening was they waited till the third quarter was over, which was 3 minutes of game time after the initial mistakes had happened, which translated to 10 minutes of real time after the mistakes had happened. they bring over the officials. They bring over the Langsberg book. They bring over the Potterville book. They compare the books. At that point, they come to an agreement that, yeah, Langsberg should have two more points than they should, than what the scoreboard says. Now, everyone agreed with this. Both books agreed. They matched, all that good stuff.
Were the two coaches involved at all?
The
in this project?
Coaches, I believe, were involved because it was, you know, it's a score. It's a meeting at the scores table. Anytime you have that, it's, you know, coaches, officials, and the books themselves.
Yeah.
So they got that issue resolved. Langsberg got their 2 points back. But when Langsberg's bookkeeper, you know, they go in this meeting and they add up all the points. When Langsberg's bookkeeper says, well, wait a minute, I don't have that extra 2 points for Potterville. That's when, according to multiple people, the Potterville bookkeeper got antagonistic, got really defensive, saying, oh, no, there's 2 points. They were scored by number 14 for Potterville. Interesting thing about number 14, number 14 was not in the game when the mysterious 2 points were added. You can watch the film of this. It's on YouTube now. Number 14 was not in the game. And when I talked to Langberg's stats keeper who had the game film and reviewed it, I reviewed it with him over the phone. He had left minutes earlier and did not come back in during the 2 points that were added. But Potterville's official book was very adamant that these 2 points were scored.
Mm-hmm.
They went back and forth. The officials then say to Langsberg, okay, well, we don't remember this play. We don't remember the 2 points happening. But if this was an issue, you should have brought us over immediately.
Yeah.
To which, again, when I was talking to the stat keeper, or the bookkeeper rather, she had said, well, I tried to, but... You know, she told me, I tried to, but their bookkeeper said, no, wait till the end of the quarter. And because of that, because the refs didn't remember the play, and because the issue was not addressed immediately, the referees had to go with what the rule book says. You have to go with what the referees, mark as the official book, which 9 times out of 10 is the home book. So the referees then say,
"Is there a reason why
it's a rule? It's a basketball rule in high school basketball.
So you go
with the official book.
Okay,
and the referee can change the official book at any time they please. But
do they deem what is the official book before? The
game? Yes, but they can. Okay. But looking into the rules, and I reach out to the MSSAA to get clarification on this, they can change the official book if they deem necessary at some point in the game, but." Again, the official book is the home book over 90% of the time.
Gotcha.
So with that being the case, the ref said, look, we have to go with the home book because we don't remember the play. We weren't brought up to address this immediately. We have to go with the home book. At this point, Langsberg's head coach says, okay, because at this point in the game, the scoreboard had Potterville with 53. They should have had 51. Mm-hmm. Langsberg's head coach says, okay, fine. I get this is what you have to do. It's your job. It's in the rules. But just so you know, it's 51, not 53. The go-off, game plays out. Again, at this point, Potterville was still up a decent amount of points. Langsberg storms back in the fourth quarter, down one with 11 seconds, misses a layup that would have won them the game on the scoreboard. Their stat keeper goes and reviews the entire game film.
So Langsberg loses by one point here, and that 1 point obviously makes a difference
now,
in this kind of
exactly. And the stat keeper was approached after the game because the bookkeeper was confident that she had tallied it up, and the stat keeper was like, "Okay, I'll review it because they have a program that runs and it keeps track of the score because they keep track of the stats on that program."
Right.
He goes and reviews it. The score that the stat program calculated was a Langsberg win by 1 point.
Wow.
So it then became let's work this out between the two schools. We'll bring the film. We'll say, look, this is what happened. You know, the two schools couldn't resolve it. They had a couple meetings.
And who was present at those meetings?
The meetings we had, there was the principals, and at one point the superintendents got involved between the two schools.
Any coaches?
No, I believe the coach for Langsberg had at least at some point made a statement for those meetings. I cannot recall if he was at the meetings, mm-hmm. but there was a meeting between the two schools, a couple of them, and no solution reached. At that point, Langsberg decided we're going to file a letter of appeal to the MHSAA and to the CMAC. Challenging the result of this game, mm-hmm. and they put this letter out. They laid out all the reasons they're appealing it. You know, what happened in their game, what happened from the scorekeeper standpoint, what happened from the statistics standpoint, you know, everything revolving the circumstance situations, that was given to the MHSAA and the CMAC. At this point, MHSAA has no ruling on it. They're still looking it over. The CMAC, I've been told, is discussing the matter, but they have not put out an official statement. They have not come to a decision yet. So we're kind of in this limbo stage of, at the time, those two teams were undefeated.
Yeah.
And with the recent change up to the MHSAA's postseason for basketball with seeding and districts and such, this is a huge game because it keeps Potterville undefeated. And then Langsburg, who was undefeated at the time and was power ranked pretty highly in the state, it affects those rankings, and ultimately it could affect the postseason seeding.
So right now, with the way the current seeding is set up, Potterville is undefeated, mm-hmm. right? So at the top of the CMAC.
Mm-hmm.
Is Langsburg too, then, I'm guessing?
Last I checked, Langsburg is in one of those strange areas because there's quite a few teams in the CMAC that are, you know, one-loss teams. So it's kind of like, I won't want to say they're tied because, you know, with tiebreakers and all that weird stuff, you know, you never know.
Right, you
but
know, yeah.
they're definitely in that spot for number two.
Okay, gotcha.
Being one-loss team, and there being, last I checked, a couple of one-loss teams in that conference. But still, it's a huge, huge deal for seeding.
What's it been like for you as a reporter covering some controversy like this? This is your, like your first, you know, controversial story mm-hmm. that you've had to report on as a young reporter at the Argus Press. How have you gone about this, and what have been some of the biggest challenges for you, Connor?
Oh, it's been kind of crazy. I mean, I'll be honest with you. I mean, when we got the tip off, the sports department got the tip off from someone in our news department who just heard something, and and we've been told, oh, you know, give, you know, contact Langsburg coach, see if they're appealing this thing. I'm like, all right, I'll send him an email. It was actually right before I was leaving the office. I'm like, I'll send him an email. You know, most of the time, these coaches, they take a little time to get back to you. You know, it's busy.
Right.
And I get an email back saying, hey, you want to talk about this? I'm like, all right, sure. Because initially, we were my bosses were like, oh, let's just do a brief on this. And they told me the whole story. I'm like, okay, this is not a brief. this is a story. So from then, I've just kind of been, you know, gathering as much information as I can. I've probably been pestering the MHSAA quite a bit, just asking, like, you know, general context questions, like, okay, what's your official rules on this? Has this happened before? Like, just trying to gather as much information as I can.
Yeah.
And then, you know, adding in, you know, everything else that I got from, you know, the Langsburg coaches, the stats, the stats people, the people who are there, and, you know, making sure that I covered all my bases and you really got as much information as I could before, you know, putting it into a story.
For sure. I know you guys had a brief write-up on Monday of last mm-hmm. week, right? And then your story came out
on Wednesday.
And you can read that for those who – do they have to be subscribers to your
– Yeah, it has to be subscribers. But when you check the website, they usually have like a couple day pass things where it's like $1 or $2 and you can be able to read some articles and
gotcha.
Things like that.
And I was looking up the standings just now. I'm looking here, Connor, and yeah, it reads Potterville still undefeated in conference at 5-0. And it has Langsburg at 4-1, and then PW at 3-1, Fulton at 3-2, followed by 2-2, so on and so forth. So this is pretty big mm-hmm. stuff here. Before we get you out of here, where do you expect this to go now as far as a timeline? Do you think the MHSAA is going to rule on this week? Anything on that?
It's really tough to tell, to be completely honest with you. The CMAC being in discussions late last week tells me that they want to do something maybe in the near future, but the MHSAA is a different story because because when I contacted them last week, they had still, you know, their rules guy. I had a hard time reaching him because he was at meetings and such. So they really got around to kind of reviewing it about the time when the story first came out. And last week when I checked in with them, they had talked to both schools. Mm-hmm. Now, talking to both schools, I don't know if that's like, you know, that's probably the opening part of like really looking into it. So the timeline is going to be really hard to tell.
Gotcha.
You know, it could be the next week. You could see something from one of those two entities. But again, if the CMAC says something, the MHSAA could then again say something different, because again, the MHSAA is the big umbrella. So
right, exactly.
There's a lot of factors, a lot of moving parts here. So it's kind of hard. It could be in the next week. It could be in the next 2 weeks. You know, you might not see a ruling till, you know, late in the game, which I don't think many people want to see a ruling.
No,
wait,
talk about suspense,
because
man. It's like getting,
again,
a big, you know, a big reveal at the end of a movie or
yeah,
something like that. You
so
handle it now.
I don't know, because I've been in contact with the MHSAA a lot, and they've been kind of giving me updates as they come. And, you know, since last Thursday, the last bit of information was, you know, we're talking with both schools. The CMAC has not given me many updates at all, so I don't know.
And I lied. One last question here, final question here. When's the last time something like this has happened? It's been a long time, right?
Oh, when I talked to the MHSAA, the guy's like, the guy who I spoke to was like, in my 20 years here, I have never seen something like this where it's a point and it's a game-deciding point.
Exactly.
So according to him, it's a pretty unique situation that Langsberg and Potterville are in right now.
Sheesh. Well, Connor, I know you're on top of it, obviously, and please keep us posted. We'll have you back on to chat about that, all right?
Gotcha.
Awesome stuff. Okay, as we come up here with just minutes left in current sports, let's hit our final break. When we come back, we'll put a bow on today's MLK Day edition of the show. We'll be right back.
Come true. And so let freedom ring from the prodigious hilltops of New Hampshire. Let freedom ring from the mighty mountains of New York. Let freedom ring from the heightening Alleghenies of Pennsylvania. Let freedom ring from the snow-capped Rockies of Colorado. Let freedom ring from the curvaceous slopes of California. But not only that, let freedom ring from Stone Mountain of Georgia. Let freedom ring from Lookout Mountain of Tennessee. Let freedom ring from every hill and molehill of Mississippi, from every mountainside. Let freedom ring, and when this happens, when we allow freedom ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city, we will be able to speed up that day when all of God's children, black men and white men, Jews and Gentiles, Protestants and Catholics, will be able to join hands and sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last.
Oh, man, I don't care how many times I listen to that speech. I get goosebumps, and there's so many thoughts that roll through my mind, you know. Happy Martin Luther King Jr. Day to you all. You know, it's a day that I think about how blessed I am and where I would be if there was not a man like MLK to fight for equality here in our great nation. So, happy MLK Day to you all. You know, we've got one of our dear callers on line one, Ray from Indiana. Ray, happy MLK Day, my man. What's on your mind as we have about a minute left?
Happy New Year, buddy. I tell you, Martin Luther King, what a great man. I just too bad there ain't more men like him around the world right today.
Yeah.
But going on to Juan Howard, remember I told him when he was 10 and 0, I said, well, Jimmy's all done. Now I'm going to put the curse on you. And they've lost like 6 out of 7. Juan, you and Jimmy got something in common. You're both big-time losers.
Already? And is this his first year, Ray? Really? You can't give the man a break.
I don't care. I want him out just like Jimmy. Get them all out of there. All the ones from the top all the way down the bottom.
All the way down to the bottom. All right, Ray. Appreciate the call, brother.
All right, buddy.
All right, man. Oh, boy. He calls him Juan Howard.
I was saying, did he just call him Juan?
Juan Howard, Jack. Not Juwan. Juan Howard. Oh, man.
I actually like the pettiness there, to be honest with you. From now on, I hope Ray never refers to him as Juwan Howard. I hope he's just Juan Howard.
And come on now. We know Ray. Ray is doing that on purpose, okay? That was preconceived.
Yeah, probably, Jack. Yeah.
Yeah, probably. Juan Howard. All right, there's a chuckle for you guys as we usher you guys into the rest of your week. Unfortunately, we are off the air live due to the President Donald Trump Senate impeachment hearings. But keep it locked to Facebook.com/WKAR News for an update on current sports throughout the week. And be easy, people.